Our Bible reading is from Deuteronomy chapter 11, from verse 8 through to verse 21. Observe therefore all the commands I am giving you today, so that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you're crossing the Jordan to possess, and so that you may live long in the land and that the Lord swore to your forefathers to give to them and to their descendants, a land flowing with milk and honey. The land you are entering to take over is not like the land of Egypt from which you have come, where you planted your seed and irrigated it by foot as in a vegetable garden. But the land you are crossing the Jordan to take possession of is a land of mountains and valleys that drinks rain from the heaven. It's a land the Lord your God cares for. The eyes of the Lord your God are continually on it from the beginning of the year to its end. So, if you faithfully obey the commands I'm giving you today, to love the Lord your God and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, then I will send rain on your land in its season, both autumn and spring rains, so that you may gather in your grain, new wine and oil. I will provide grass in the fields for your cattle, and you will eat and be satisfied. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. Then the Lord's anger will burn against you, and he will shut the heavens so that it will not rain, and the ground will yield no produce, and you will soon perish from the good land the Lord has given you. So fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates, so that your days and the days of your children may be many in the land that the Lord swore to give your forefathers, as many as the days that the heavens are upon the earth, are above the earth. Amen. As a local councillor, I, along with my colleagues, am facing unprecedented challenges in 2023. There is an increasing need on the one hand and a lack of funding on the other. Post-COVID, a lot of staff left, particularly from social care, and there's a struggle to meet the needs of the elderly. And I'm really worried about this because we have another 300 staff who are about to retire from that sector within the next few years, and we're really struggling to employ people to come and help the elderly people in our community. And along with that, on the other hand, we have lots of young people who are presenting with much more challenging needs. Young people who are really distressed and troubled, and the budget for that has just rocketed sky high, and there's just not enough money to meet the needs of these young people. So I'm really concerned about our community. And I'm sure that's not just in Renfrewshire, I'm sure that that's true here in Glasgow as well. Then, as a minister who preaches around different churches, I'm deeply aware of the spiritual challenge of 2023. More people are carrying with them at least a low level of anxiety, sometimes not that low, about what's going to happen in this year. There are challenges with money, with heating and lighting. I don't know about your church, but our church bill for electricity has gone up fourfold next year, not just doubled, but fourfold. So there are real challenges for churches, never mind what it's like at home with mortgages and with new heating bills and cost of living crisis. So there's real challenges of resourcing for paying for heat and light and coping with the speed of ongoing change. So it wouldn't be surprising, I don't think, if we're coming to this new year, 2023, with considerable apprehension. Not only due to that cost of living, but because our lives have been disrupted in so many ways. Transport's disrupted just now. Education's disrupted. There's about to be more strikes. healthcare is disrupted, and indeed church is disrupted as the mission plan is forwarded in the Church of Scotland. Yet here we are, standing on the shore of a new year. Just as the people of God were in our Bible reading this morning. They were standing on the beach of the River Jordan, and the promised land was ahead of them. Their future was ahead of them. They're on the beach. They're in that place. And they have their own apprehension, fragility, and feebleness as they look to the future. Here at this beach boundary place, God speaks to the people of Israel words of assurance as the focus just from lessons of the past to the challenges of the future. Hopefully, in our boundary place on the shore of this new year, God will speak to us this morning, speak to you and to me as we listen to his word. Our Bible text begins as Israel struggles on the boundary place with the radical newness of what God has in store for them. Their old life in the slavery of Egypt is compared and contrasted with the new life to come. And it has no parallels in their past experience, but is totally new. The future calls for faith. The old land which Israel remembered so well, the land of slavery, even of banishment, was a land by effort. And it was therefore precarious, requiring effort and attention. It was a demanding land. The new land, the land before them, the land given beyond the Jordan, is the land of restoration, a land by graciousness. And therefore this land will be secure and life-giving. It's a land where security does not need to be manufactured, where well-being need not come by conjuring and calculation. Here security and well-being are not from a grudging taskmaster, but from a benevolent rain-sending God. The same one who gave them manna in the wilderness, the bread-giving God. The Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann comments, both rain and manna come from heaven, from outside the history of coercion and command. I wonder if you're looking at 2023 and saying, this is going to demand more effort from me. This is going to demand something extra from me. And actually, I don't really have that much more in me to give to this year, to this situation. Yet listen to God here. The text is directing us not to be ground down by becoming slaves to the system, but to find provision and prosperity that is life in all its fullness through a love-filled heart and a soul focus on God. In other words, it's not about us being ground down by life itself. It's about us receiving from God God's blessing and prosperity. By focusing on God, we get the right perspective on our life. And there's a lot of people, aren't there, being ground down just now in the workplace. I don't know where you work or what your job is, but I know as I talk to many people, they're really tired. And they're finding the stress of life really difficult. But here's a counter message to this. If we focus on God, God blesses us. He gives us what we need, the strength we need. And the thing, it's not about our effort. It's about how God blesses us when we look to God. I was an extremely lively youngster. And this often got me into trouble at school. And I would find myself outside the headmaster's office awaiting my true reprimand and punishment in the days when you could get the belt. Anybody remember these days? Yes, well, I was well accomplished at it. For some time I thought God was like that, an all-seeing, angry God who would catch me out. And when I did something wrong, would exact some kind of punishment on me because I'd been naughty again or had done something bad. However, as I grew in Christian faith and understanding, I came to see that God wasn't like that at all. That God watches over me not to catch me out, but because God cares for me and wants to enrich my life. To paraphrase the Deuteronomy text here, which uses the collective term land. God cares for me. The eyes of the Lord are continually on me from the beginning of the year to its end. The psalmist, speaking to every day of the year, says in Psalm 118, verse 24, "This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." Why? Because on this and every day of the year, God is with us, enveloping us in compassion, care, and love. From the beginning of the year to its end, God is with you and for you. Now, like many of you, I better not wander too far, forget the camera. I'm used to walking about, sorry. I've been, like many of you, wishing people Happy New Year. And yet, it doesn't really do it for me to just say Happy New Year to people. And yet, I know that people will have happy times in 2023. There'll be times of celebration. There'll be good times when you have a fantastic meal with friends or you see something which is really entertaining on the TV. That'd be a surprise. And, you know, there'll be something that's really good. But I also know that in this year, there could be sorrow and grief. Grief may be carried from a previous loss or grief which is there, which comes in the year. There could be difficult times with money or with relationships or with other things in life. And so just to say Happy New Year doesn't really cut it in what I really want to say to people. For me, the very heart of my Christian theology is not just about happiness and joy. It's about how God is with us through all the ups and downs of our life. And the word "with" is really important to me, that God is with us, that God is alongside us. No matter what we feel we're going through, no matter what happens in these days, that God is actually with us. And this is what the text says, that God's, the eyes of the Lord are on you from the beginning of the year until the end of the year. That's a really good text, isn't it? That God is with us from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. The passage is full of blessing on those who move beyond the boundary. But there is a warning, which according to Peter Craigie could alternatively be translated as, "Take care lest you become so open-minded that you get into trouble." Of course, as Israel comes to the land, to its future, it always encounters other possibilities, exciting possibilities. As they move from wilderness to a land of plenty, there is so much to draw the eye, to muddy the water, to usurp unusable loyalties. There is always that illusion that we can sustain and secure our own existence. Israel live in the land without being seduced by other interests, other gods, and without the temptation of coveting having its way. In other words, can Israel move into the promised future wholly trusting in God, the same way as they did when they were in the wilderness? The experience of Israel would answer this negatively, but Deuteronomy holds to a better vision, believing that faithful people can move forward, saying yes to God and no to all that takes away from God, be it other passions or possessions. And I like that we can have that strength to say yes to God and no to all the things that can take us away from God in this coming year. That's an important vision which is here in this text. The strength which comes not to be seduced by other interests comes from fixing our thoughts, our minds, our hearts and minds on God's word. To let our emotions and our mindfulness be filled with the word of God. Almost like wearing them, like we put our clothes on in the morning, so we wear the word of God in our minds and in our hearts. Perhaps as we move forward into this new year as God's community here, our experience tells us that our own interests and our own possessions have the possibility of hindering us from coming to the place where God truly wants us to be. So it's good to hold to a better vision, this Deuteronomy vision, to trust in God rather than our own efforts. It's kind of like we're all standing on the beach of this new year. I like beaches, by the way. They're fantastic places to be. They're kind of liminal places between the land and the sea, and you're in that place, a special place. But we stand on the beach, as it were, of this new year, 2023. There's a promised land to walk into, a place the Lord God cares for, where the eyes of the Lord are continually on it from the beginning of the year to the end. And so I wish you all God's richest blessing in this year, and I pray that you will know that God is with you, that God is with you through all the ups and downs, whatever you face, whatever you're going through, that you will know that God is with you. And when I say that, I mean, it's not like he's just a supporter at a football match shouting from the sides like I do. But he's actually on the pitch. He's with you. He's right there on the pitch with you. He's in the game. He's alongside you in what you're doing in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in your church, in your home. And I just pray that you'll know that sense of God being with you in 2023. Amen.